Welcome back to another Creative Encounter podcast. I'm your host, Juette Payne, and we are so excited to be here for episode 32 of the podcast. If you have been watching on YouTube, please go ahead and subscribe and hit the bell so you don't miss any episodes. If you're on Spotify, leave us a rating. And if you're on Apple Podcasts, leave us a review so we can reach so many more Kingdom creatives through this podcast. But without further ado, I am here with a very special guest, a good friend of mine. We play worship together and just have a great time when we're just kicking it. This is Javonte Howard. Javonte, what's going on, bro?
Man, nothing much. It's a pleasure to be here with you.
Man, dude, thank you so much for coming out. It's going to be an exciting time today. Javonte, man, like his personality is like where we just like clicked right away.
Yeah.
Dude. So yeah. We were kind of helping out at New Life Community Church, the church I used to fellowship at. And he's on worship team. Great vocalist, heart for God worshiper. Yes, sir. And man, but when we were in the break room before going, that was the time we were just kicking it and just having a ball, just clowning. It's just so much fun, man. But yeah, dude. But how you doing, man?
Man, I'm well. Just busy. Doing kingdom work, of course.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But just enjoying my life and just seeing where life just takes me. Honestly, I've just came into a place where it's just like I'm gonna let things flow, let God be God. And just really just go after my dream and my calling.
I love that. Yep. And I feel like, I don't know if it was last year or the year before, I had texted you just kind of just saying, I'm proud of you for doing that right now at this stage, because you just recently graduated.
Yes, so I graduated about, it'll be 2 years. Well, I'm 23, yep. Yeah. So it'll be 2 years in May, so this month.
Yeah.
I graduated with my bachelor's in theology and music and worship.
Yes,
and so I'm looking to go get my master's in counseling so I can start working in the schools more, but also while still doing ministry as well. So I'm trying to learn how to juggle the two.
Yeah, exactly. And then, and like counseling in and of itself is a ministry too.
Definitely.
You know what I'm saying? Like we just even say the Holy Spirit is our wise counselor,
you
know? So that even connects with worship and leading because you can kind of empathize and connect with people even more.
Definitely.
You know, man, I love that. But I was just saying, telling him, I was like so proud of him because you jumped right into what God is calling you to do. Like you saw like, okay, this is a gift that he has given me. I'm not going to be dabbling and trying to do all these little other things to make ends meet per se. But if I jump into this, I know my gift is what makes room for me.
Yeah.
You know,
I tell people all the time that what I do, it found me. Mm-hmm. Like I didn't find it necessarily.
Yeah.
Although, yes, I know I have this gift. I have the anointing to do what God has called me to do. Mm-hmm. It was something I've always didn't see myself doing.
Yeah.
I always wanted to be a teacher. And,
So
I went to school actually to be an English teacher.
Wow.
And then something just wasn't clicking. I'm like, this is not what I'm called to do, per se, like full time.
Yeah.
So I finally just like submitted to God, like, hey, I'm just going to go down this route, go by faith.
Yeah.
And then also, most importantly, when I found out, like, who I am in Christ, that's when everything just started opening up.
Yeah.
And I don't know, like, all these different opportunities just came out of nowhere.
Yeah.
So I'm like, it found me. I didn't really much find it.
Dude, I love it. That's awesome. So let's go back a bit. So I like to see how, because I always tell everyone that it starts from our childhood.
Yeah.
When God created us, he gave us these gifts.
Definitely.
I feel, you know, and a lot of different situations shaped them.
Yeah.
You know, so like, how far can you go back to when you really kind of started getting into music, into worship, into the church, all of that?
So, all my life I grew up in church, so one of the church kids.
Yeah.
So I can remember the earliest, probably being like in kindergarten, just trying to join the choir and being in the kids' choir. And at my school. So I remember all those different moments, but I also remember those bad moments where it's like, they would be like, no, you can't sing with us. And I'm just like, like I'll always just, you know, just try to and just try to, just try to. But just always just like, I don't know, just always been rejected from it. So I always
What do you think the reason was? Was it, the age or was
probably
it?
Probably so.
Like, what was the, was it like a cultural, like what do you think was kind of happening?
Yeah, probably not necessarily cultural, but more like age thing. Because, just like what I was probably like first or second grade trying to sing with adults.
Yeah.
So it's like no, you're a kid.
Yeah, yeah. You're like trying to jump into that calling right away.
Yeah. You know, just like head first. Like, no.
That's cool.
But yeah, I mean, I remember those earlier times and being at church. I started out playing the drums as a little kid. No way, yeah.
I did not know you played any instruments, bro.
No, nobody knows. I keep that in the far
back. Everybody knows now, so they're going to be calling you.
Right. Yeah. Calling me to play the drums. Don't call me. But I just remember those times, just growing up, playing the drums, just singing, and just even dabbling in writing music, even though it sucked. But I've always had that dream of, like, singing and doing stuff like that. And then once I got, like, into middle school, I actually wanted to stop singing. Like, I stopped singing for, like, a whole year, I believe. No
way. And what kind of pivoted you? What were you, because, you know, around that age, we're just exploring a lot of different opportunities.
Yeah.
What were you kind of getting into at that time, do you feel?
Nothing really, honestly. I think it was more of, like, I wanted to get into theater, but just being rejected from, like, doing musicals and theater because I went to a predominantly white school, so...
For when it was middle school time?
Yeah. I mean, all my life, pretty much. Growing up in the suburbs, but, like, just being a kid who was on the darker side, who's chubby. So, like, I just, you know, just had that, what's the word I'm looking for? Low self-esteem. And so I'm like, you know what? Music is just not it. Maybe it's just not for me. But I just remember specifically this one teacher. Her name is Martha Albers. I would never forget meeting her. I remember the first day we met. I gave her the hardest time ever. But, you know, at that time, I didn't understand. I was, you know, operating out of the root of rejection. But she actually restored my hope in myself and also in music. She made me love it again, pushed me, gave me new opportunities, helped me even learn to read music even more. And so, like, I always thank her even to this day for that. And so even when I got into high school, just like she helped me get into, a performing arts high school. So she was just like a big inspiration for music.
And now was she one of your teachers at your school?
Yeah, she was actually the music teacher. Sixth grade, we had a music teacher. She quit. And then she came and she was the angel. I tell her she was the angel sent from heaven.
Man, dude, I love that. There's always one person God puts in our life to help to set us up for that next level of our lives, you know? Man, I love that. That's so cool, dude. Now, are is your family, like your mom and dad, are they into music? Like, where do you feel like the gift kind of came from? You know, outside of the Lord blessing us, but do you feel like your family was kind of into that?
Yeah, so mainly my father's side of the family is very musical. So we have a lot of singers, preachers. My dad, actually, I think he played the saxophone. Him and my uncle played saxophone. And so I'm the vocalist. And then, of course, I have some cousins and stuff that sing. But, like, mostly from my dad's side is the musical side.
That's dope. That's so cool. Yeah, so I got to start a little band right there.
No.
Not happening.
Not happening.
No, but, you know, like, pretty much you in the gospel realm, because you realize, you know, you said darker side, you know, little chum, you know, we got a little fluff on us, you know. Yeah, but it's like, you know, that's the genre that's what that fits in.
Yeah.
You know? That's how you did that.
That's it.
That's hilarious, yeah. Cool. So tell me, since you graduated, what kind of opportunities have you been doing in the last 2 years? Because it looks like your last couple years have been packed.
They have been packed.
Even when we just talked right before starting, we're like, man, how's everything going? Like, man, it's been busy. You know how it is.
You know, so, and I'm not complaining about it. I'm very grateful about for that, because it's something that I've been praying for and working hard for. But within the last 2 years, I'm right now currently on a tour right now. So it's something that's new, but also it's not a lot like the average tour, but I know it's preparing me for the more stuff to come dealing with tour life. I recently written some music for one major label, one upcoming label. What else have I done? I've recorded music my own self, released it. Just had my second live recording. And then just traveling the world, honestly, and just building connections with people and just writing music and and just singing wherever, pretty much.
Keeping that pen to pad.
Yeah.
That's key. That's key. I love it. Yeah. You recently, I think it was last Saturday, was that the 29th?
Yes.
Yeah. So April 29th, you just had a performance, a show.
Yeah.
I forget the name of it, though. What was the name of
it? I Am Air Live Experience.
Yes. I Am Air. How did that go?
It was amazing. Yeah. Like, we had received so many testimonies. It was honestly, I was just praying about, like, you know, the whole night, of course, but, you know, just be able to, forgot to show you something and it come to pass. It's always like that mind-blowing thing. But I think a lot of people have to understand it's the way that you prepare yourself for it, to see it. But most importantly, surrendering your will to the will of the Father, for the will of the Father. And so I felt like, and even my coaches can talk really talk to this by saying, like, because of your surrender, because of your will, because of your submission to God, like, this was such an impactful night. And so many people, like, text me, was like putting it on social media, like, man, I got free, I got delivered, I got on. You know, I just felt the presence of God. I'm a church member, and I work in the church, and I don't get to feel this all the time because I'm serving. And so what we do is create a space where creative, but not just creative, but people who are in the church, but most importantly, our goal is to reach people outside of the faith. To come into a space where they is judgment free. They can learn about who they are in Christ through through the worship arts. But most importantly, it's just all about having a safe space and building community with other people who may look like you or may not look like you, because we have a multicultural, multi-generational space. But it's just most importantly, just like, you feel safe. But most importantly, like, you have a different experience with church. Like, you're not here for church, we're here for relationship. And so I feel like a lot of people, not I feel, but I know a lot of people left feeling that way, not because of my feelings, but because of their testimonies.
That's so good, man. I'm actually reading, doing the whole Bible in a year. And it's kind of relating to what you're saying.
Like, I am too.
And then, So I know you probably, like, you know, we just did, like, you know, Deuteronomy and just reading through that. But it was so crazy because at first, you know, you read those first five books, and, like, man, you got to get through these, because these are kind of like, you know, there's all these laws and regulations. But then as you read it, you're like, the whole premise of it is like, God is like, yo, blessings and curses I put before you. I want you to choose blessings. He's like, I want to call you to live a holy life, to live righteous. And it's not like he's just trying to set you up for failure. It's like,
definitely,
that's just what it is. Just like, if you choose this, I'm giving you the choice. This was going to happen. So I love that he was saying, like, the whole thing was just surrendering. That leaves room for God. We get ourselves out the way to leave room for God, and you just watch him move. And all these testimonies just come.
I think that's where a lot of people kind of get confused about Christianity. They think it's about rules and regulations and all of these laws. But the biggest thing that I've been learning about being a follower of Christ is, first of all, it's all about relationship with Christ. It's not necessarily about do's and don'ts, but it's all about how can, not how can, but it's all about pushing to go back to the original tent of creation, is to dwell in the fullness with God. And that's where we see his return and us being in a new Jerusalem and being heaven and earth, being brand new. It's not about, like, God sending people to hell or just, like, follow these rules or you don't go to hell or, you know, whatever, just the crazy stuff the world comes up with. But also it goes against everything of human will. And sometimes as humanity, like, we have to understand, like, we have to surrender our will to the Father, because his will is what's best for us, especially as he's been the ultimate creator. So he knows what's best. He knows what's to come, what's not to come. So it's all about the submission, and it's all about just understanding, like, I'm created. He's the creator. And so, like, which one do you trust the more, the creator or the created?
That's so good. And I feel like that really connects with your themes, with the records and the singles. I am heir. Just knowing your position, who you are in
Christ. It's all intentional.
Yeah, it's all intentional. And, like, I feel like that's revelation right there, just declaring, I am heir. I feel like the Lord and the Holy Spirit really just gave that to you. Tell me what season you were in when that kind of came to you, and how that come to be, because I just love that title.
I don't necessarily remember the season I was in, but I just remember being in my dorm room and the Lord just clearly just spoke it. Like, it was, like, real fast, like, air. And I'm like, okay, like, air. We breathe it.
Yeah,
like,
I was going to say, Lord, you're talking about A-A-I-R.
Like, great, we love it. But I really, I knew, just being attentional, like, that he was talking about H-E-I-R. So what I did was just, like, starting to dig more into it mm-hmm. and just find a definition and start mm-hmm. studying it. And it was just funny because the next day, like I said, I went to a Christian institution. Mm-hmm. That's what my professor started teaching on. Mm-hmm. So, of course, yeah, so I'm like mind blown. I'm like what? Oh, but the biggest thing, though, for me was with the whole I Am Mary's birth is mm-hmm. understanding, first of all, who I am in Christ, mm-hmm. who Christ calls me, but also how I am participating in the biblical story. Mm-hmm. Like, mm-hmm. yes, we see there's characters in there, there's Jesus in there, there's God, there's Moses, whoever all that you know. Mm-hmm. But if you read between the fine lines, especially when we get to the New Testament, like, yeah. you're in that story. Yeah. Yeah. You're a part of that story. Mm-hmm. You've always been a part of the story. Yeah. Jesus has always been a part of the story mm-hmm. as well. But just mostly understanding that, I know a lot of people, especially in the Black community, can relate to like feeling like they don't have a father, the absence mm-hmm. of the father. Yeah. But knowing, understanding that God is Father, the mm-hmm. ultimate Father, yeah. and that He calls us to be His children, you just takes on a different stance. Yeah. But also, you have to understand that their perspective has to change. Yeah. And when you declare that you are heir, mm-hmm. Not only does the title, like your mm-hmm. natural title change, but your whole countenance, your whole character, mm-hmm. like it yeah. all changes. Yeah. And the way that I started doing,
you carry yourself
yeah, and it's how yeah. you carry yourself. Wow. And so when people see me, I just remember around campus when people mm-hmm. would see me, they say, "I am Aaron." I'm like, "Yes, you are."
Yes, yes, yes.
And so, but also it's about how I carry myself yes. and how I view myself. Mm-hmm. You have to view yourself differently. Mm-hmm. And that's why it's intentional by saying I am, because it's a statement.
Mm-hmm.
You're declaring the statement mm-hmm. that you are an heir.
Yeah.
And so as you declare it, you take on
yeah.
What you're declaring.
Yeah.
And so as I was doing that, mm-hmm. I mean, a lot about me has changed.
Mm-hmm.
And when even people see me, they're like, "Man, you're rich." Yes, I am, because I am heir.
Yeah, yes, I
so,
am.
So yeah, I mean, the Bible talks so much about being the heir, being a joint heir with Christ mm-hmm. and how we receive all these blessings.
Mm-hmm.
And not just the blessings, but mm-hmm. also it's just all about being reconciled to the Father.
Mm-hmm.
Like, just being able to know that we have a Savior that came down, mm-hmm. bled for us, mm-hmm. and paid our yeah, debts of yeah. sin.
Mm-hmm.
But then, not only that, like, He didn't leave it there. He's like, "Okay, now you're my own. So mm-hmm. you're my son.
Mm-hmm.
You're my daughter." Like, it's just like, you took it a step further.
Like, you just redeemed me.
Yeah.
And you're like, "Okay, I'm good." But it's like, no, like, there's, like you said, there are the blessings because He just exudes what He is.
Exactly.
It's like, it just overflows, you know?
Yep.
It makes me think of, who's that, Donald Lawrence. Donald Lawrence and Tri-City Singers had, they sing, you know, "Your Inheritance, the Blessing of Abraham,"
yes.
that song. You know, just remembering who we are in Christ, remembering, you know, that we are heirs, that we are children of Abraham. So
yeah.
all of those blessings, you just have to walk in it. It's all there. But what he said, be transformed first by the renewing of our mind.
Renewing your mind.
You know,
yep.
you just mentioned, you got to renew that mindset, you know?
Yep.
Man, that's
you have
good.
To.
Yes,
yep.
sir. That's crazy. So cool, dude. So, okay, so it's 2023. We are, it's May right now, right? So.
Yeah.
You gotta tell me, like, what's some upcoming projects that you got going on? You
know? Yeah. So, like I said, we just did the I Am Mary Live experience.
Mm-hmm.
We are actually supposed to be taking it down to Atlanta.
Oh, very nice.
Yeah, so we have this.
So, this tour is kind of like Midwest.
Honestly, it's not even a tour. Mm-hmm. This was presented to me just by a fellow.
Mm-hmm.
Creative
mm-hmm.
and he moved from here to Atlanta
mm-hmm.
so he's like, "Hey, you can do
hey,
it yeah, yeah just come on down yeah. and so I'm like, okay, well mm-hmm. I've been building my connects mm-hmm. in the South
mm-hmm.
and so why not
yeah.
I don't want to just keep it to myself mm-hmm. or just keep it within my city, like
exactly.
you know, a lot of people can benefit from this
mm-hmm.
so well, that's what we're working on next. I'm going to continue to write and work on music
mm-hmm.
but I want to start pushing into one of my biggest dreams is writing for other artists.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm working on doing that now so that the message can, of course, can continue
mm-hmm.
to push out, but also, like, how cool it is
yeah.
to, you know, have your song on the radio
yeah.
or
yeah,
someone's
course.
Album that
yeah.
you look up to.
Yep.
But, yeah, I'm going for it.
That's so cool. I
yeah.
love it. There's a couple of artists I've been working with. You mentioned Atlanta, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So this individual, he actually lives in Atlanta.
Nice.
And he's a dope songwriter, but he's not musical at all. He could literally write the songs. And he's kind of just singing it a bit. So he sent me his tracks to kind of just like put the music to it and everything, because he wants to do the same thing as far as like pitching it out to other artists and stuff. And there's an individual here in Chicago. And he wants to do the same thing as far as pitching it out to artists. It's just like, it's just such a beautiful opportunity when God gives you that gift to just songwrite. That's what I was mentioning in the last episode. Why don't you guys go ahead and actually check that out? Episode 30, what was that, 31 or 30, a few episodes ago. Pretty much I was talking on like the idea of, if this is what you're doing, if you got these two things in front of you that are nice opportunities, what do you feel like is the main calling that God is calling you to do? Like, would you put this to the side and just kind of just throw that away, even though it's fun, even though you enjoy it, to really walk into this? And that's always the wrestle we have as believers, because you've had to say, I'm sure you've had to say no to some things to be able to fully be walking into this. You know, so for the creative, like, what's something that you feel like, you know, you may have had to kind of say no to, some opportunities, you know, small or big, so because you're like, man, God is telling me to do this.
So I've had like plenty of opportunities to lead worship here in the Chicagoland area. And I just like, no, like that's not where my heart's at. Of course, it could have been a stable income. And one of them was really in a mega church. So it's just like, I'm like, no, that's not where my heart's at. That's not where I feel God is leading me right now. And I'm so glad I didn't go down that route, because I would have probably missed a few opportunities to, first of all, have the freedom to be able to travel.
And that freedom, that freedom is everything, bro. It's like, man.
And then probably could have missed like some other opportunities that one I may not have had the opportunity to go back to, or just even just be able to get my feet wet into like industry work. So, yeah, those are, that's one of the major ones that really comes to mind right now.
Yeah, exactly. I was mentioning that too, as well as like, kind of like leading worship in the local church for me personally isn't a thing I feel called to do. Like, supporting my worship team at church and everything. You know, you have a gift. Support somewhere at your church. You're supposed to be helping. Of course. You're supposed to just sit there and just take in. You're supposed to be giving back as well. But those, like, job-specific things, really wrestling and seeing God, like, you know, like, I'm more so to be, you know, playing in different places, having that freedom and flexibility to get out and do that.
Like everything. And it's not even about necessarily popularity for me. It's about giving and receiving culture. I'm the type of person, I love to embrace new cultures and new styles, new forms. So I think of it as a way of like, oh man, I can take this and learn from here. But also it just, it's equipping me to really transition into what a lot of people and a lot of churches, I want to see multicultural, multi-ethnic spaces. But a lot of people don't know how to lead those spaces because they're not exposed to the space. So you can't want to lead in the space or want the space to be developed if you don't, if you, first of all, you don't, if you don't let down your walls and be vulnerable in those spaces and go to those spaces. So it's not going to happen.
And that's what we're seeing a lot in our music today. It's just like these different cultures coming together to create new music and everything. Like, you can't just go into, you know, mostly white church and just kind of just drop gospel songs. This isn't what they're necessarily used to. You know, they may be, but not necessarily all the time. So you want to be able to make those adjustments to be able to connect and relate. You know, we saw Christ. Christ is our example in all time. We saw him do that all the time with the people he ministered to. He's telling these parables, these simple stories, talking to the farmer, you know, talking to the business owner, talking to, you know, the poor. These basic stories, relate to them, connect with them, and then give them this, you know.
I feel like a lot of people need to understand, like, when it comes to multicultural work, like, we all have something in common. We all have something that we can relate to. Yes, Christ is the foundation to our relationship, but also we have to think about our human part. And so I feel like, but again, like, I'm always going to say, it goes back to your vulnerability. How vulnerable are you willing to be to either be in those spaces, to invite people into that space, or even just to be in a space in general? Like, it takes a level of vulnerability. And you also have to just, you know, have your perspective to be different. And going to a PWI, I had to go, in there, I mean, with a whole different perspective. Like, I couldn't take necessarily my gospel roots at first, But once I got into the space, you know, got to learn their style, and I got to introduce my style as well. And so we've created a space where people felt comfortable and safe to basically be who they are, whether they're Black, they're white, they're Asian, Island Pacific nerds, all of that. So it just takes a space of vulnerability and love and humility.
That's it, man. That's exactly what Christ did, man. Just brought all, everything together. Like, the Jews were so confused. Like, wait, hold on. We're supposed to, now we were hanging out with them? Like, what is this? You know, and build those relationships and stuff. Because he's like, I want you out and reach everybody.
Definitely.
And that's the best way to do it. And we know that we all relate. That's the one thing. If you take everything away, we all relate in music.
Yeah.
I don't care who are.
Oh, yeah.
It's so cool. It's just like that universal language, that just beautiful thing that just connects people is the music. So how much more if we connect culture and different backgrounds to bring together, and then, you know, we put this song together, now we're reaching out to people. Man, it's just so dynamic. That's so good. Man, dude, I love it. Okay, so you gotta, this is what we always do. You gotta tell the creative something that they can leave with, something to encourage and motivate them, something to ponder on as they step into their journey. Because a lot of people, again, what I love about you is that you're younger. What are you now, maybe 24, 25?
26, actually.
26? Nice. So even that, just kind of being right there in your 20s and be like, this is it. You know, a lot of people don't necessarily have that opportunity. What's something you can share for those who may just graduated?
Yeah.
And they're like, man, I want to go into this, but I don't know.
First thing that a lot of colleges or spaces won't teach you is to network. I had to learn that myself. Like, networking is everything. Go to different shows, places, talk to the people, follow them on Instagram, DM. Don't be a creep, but but network. That's definitely number one. Number two, surround yourself with people who are better than you. If you surround yourself with people who are not better than you, like, you have no room to grow, and you're always going to be frustrated, and you're never going to have a target or a point to reach. That's number two. Number three, practice your skill. Practice it every day. Take some time. If you are a vocalist, you know, practice those vocal riffs. There's nothing wrong with that. Practice your flows. Practice your set. If you're a writer, whatever you do, just practice. If you're a writer, write. I remember D. Wilson talked about even if you just find a random object and you just write about it. Just write about it for like 10, 20 minutes. Just write, but also, like, get outside of yourself. And then I would say, just find yourself doing it. Take the risk, do it, but also take your time as well. Don't be in a rush to have to get it done. Like, oh, I got to get this done. And I remember finding myself in a position where I was always, like, just trying to get it done, trying to get it done, just to get it done. That I was, excuse me, that I was, I don't know, just overloading myself. Until I really found out, like, man, let me just take my time with this. Especially, like, as an independent artist, like, this stuff adds up. It adds up.
It does,
So save your coin as well.
Yeah.
But most importantly, take your time, plan it out, and go forth in excellence.
That's good, man. Oh, man, I absolutely love that. And speaking of the excellence piece, it was something you mentioned before, was as far as practicing your craft. That's one that really just sticks out to me. I just wanted to ask you, because again, all this is to support them, is what's your rhetoric or system as far as working on your vocals and working on songwriting? You know, I like the idea of how you mentioned, like, you know, having a random item and just kind of just write something, you know, just kind of keep that muscle going. But what's your kind of system as far as it comes to writing? Or your space, even, like, you know?
Yeah, so my writing space varies and it changes all the time. If I'm, like, intentionally trying to write a song, what I normally do is, as a Christian, I read the Bible. Definitely make sure that everything that you write is authentic to the Word of God and it's true. We don't want to be out here writing false narrative for people. But also, like, you know, I read my Word. I try to really stay away from other people's music so that I'm not finding myself mimicking or like, oh, that sounds familiar. Like, I want everything to be authentic. But then also, if I'm, like, in a download from Holy Spirit, normally I write what I hear. go to my scripture, mm-hmm. keep singing the melody mm-hmm. if you have one. And honestly, just, I don't know, I just go from there, honestly. Mm-hmm. It's just becoming, yep. I don't know, just becoming very natural to me because mm-hmm. I just started mm-hmm. the craft. Yep. But also, like, being intentional on the theme. Mm-hmm. I feel like a lot of songwriters that I come across, mm-hmm. Especially who are aspiring songwriters, mm-hmm. they have, like, 5 themes in the song. I'm like, no, pick one and go from there.
Exactly, yeah.
Go from there. Make sure everything is aligned. Like, make sure your verses are aligned with the... Make sure verse 1 is aligned with verse 2. Yeah. Verse 1 and 2...
The story is making sense, you know?
Like, tell a story. Yeah, literally, tell a story. Mm-hmm. So you have your beginning, you have your climax, you have mm-hmm. the end, like, you have all of that. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, just make sure everything is aligned. Like, the story makes sense.
Yes,
so if you're talking about Jesus healing, mm-hmm. make sure it makes sense. Mm-hmm. Like, don't go into talking about Jesus' feet being washed. Right. Like, what does that have to do with healing? Like, make it all make sense.
Yeah,
but also let other people hear it
mm-hmm.
and read it, especially. Mm-hmm. What I like to do is I like to... run it by my worship pastor, like, mm-hmm. hey, how'd it sound?
Yeah.
He'd be like, oh, like, do this, do that. I'll run it by my other brother who writes mm-hmm. music.
Yeah.
He'd be like, oh, no, this sounds good, or do this, do that.
Yeah.
And I always run it by a person who's not a singer.
Just a listener.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Always run it by a person who's not a songwriter or mm-hmm. a singer. Like, how does it sound to you? Because you always want to have the ear of the audience.
Mm-hmm.
So you want to make sure that you are relating to your audience as well.
Mm-hmm.
Like, yeah, it may be your story. It may be, you know, your testimony, whatever the case may be. But also, like, remember, it's not just for you. Like, it has to relate to other people as well.
Mm-hmm. Oh, man, I love that. That's similar to when we produce tracks.
Yes.
Not having too many people. You want to be careful because everybody has an opinion.
Yep.
Just keep it nice and tight.
People that you trust.
Yeah, like,
that you
trust.
If you're not going to get no mm-hmm. advice from them, or you respect their opinion, mm-hmm. or if they just, I'm sorry, if they just suck,
mm-hmm.
don't go to
them.
Go to people that you trust.
We try to keep it nice, but that's pretty much what we say. It's like, you know, keep it just like 2 or 3.
Yeah.
Get their feedback, you know, make whatever adjustments as in lines with what you know your skills are to, and what you know you already innately know regarding your craft and all of that and stuff, and then just run with it. And then remember, nothing's ever going to be, because it's all subjective.
Yeah.
So nothing's ever going to be like perfect. It's just like, just keep releasing.
Keep. And also, don't be afraid. First of all, don't be afraid to edit. Like, I've made mm-hmm. edits to a song the day of we were going to record it.
Yeah.
I'm like, hey guys, here's the new edits to the song. They're like, edits? Right. Yes, edits. Yeah. Here you go.
I just rewrote this whole thing right
now. Thank you.
Yeah.
Don't be afraid to edit. Like, edit your work. Make sure everything is grammatically correct.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you want to just leave out all loopholes.
Yeah.
But also, don't be afraid to co-write. If you are mm-hmm. Starting off writing, like, find yourself in co-writes.
Mm-hmm.
Find yourself in co-writes.
Yeah.
Especially, again, people who are better than you. Mm-hmm. And I'm so happy to have, like, a community of co-writers mm-hmm. of myself. Because they, first of all, it challenges me to write in other genres. Mm-hmm. Other styles,
mm-hmm.
it's just a challenge,
mm-hmm.
And it keeps you on your toes.
Exactly, just even just working with other people that just breaks down how we were talking about just being humble, being able to just be vulnerable. That's been a key thing we've been talking about. Just be vulnerable with it and just be open because it's an expression of your heart, your expression of your mind. You're putting yourself out there when you song, right?
Yep.
So to do it with someone else, that's just being very open.
Definitely.
It was just a very special thing. You could feel that in those types of songs.
And it builds relationship.
Yep.
And it just makes a song so much better.
Mm-hmm. Man, I love it. So take these tips down for those of you who are aspiring songwriters or current songwriters and everything. Take these tips. But I want you guys to make sure you follow Javonte. Javonte, how can people follow you?
Yeah, so you guys can find me on Instagram at javonta.h.
Mm-hmm.
I don't have a Twitter. You can also find me on Facebook at Javonte Howard.
Mm-hmm.
Hit me in the DM. I'm not that type of person.
Yeah.
If you have any questions, let me know. Mm-hmm. If you just want to connect.
Yeah.
Definitely open. You also can find me, follow the I Am Air Live Experience page mm-hmm. for other future dates and cities that we'll be in at I Am Air LX.
Love it, love it. We'll have all that in the description below the video. But again, guys, thank you so much for tuning into Creative Encounter Podcast. It's been awesome having you here, bro. Thank you so much.
Thank you for having me.
Man. And guys, remember, Creative Encounter, we are a nonprofit. So if you want to support this ministry, the link is below. If you want to become a one-time partner, a monthly partner, so we can do the podcast and our monthly events, we'd absolutely love for you guys to be a part of that. But guys, we love you and thank you so much for tuning in. See you next time.
Peace.